God bless you. This will be the first night of a series that I'm calling Eagle Saints. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, I want to give honor to the bishop tonight. I love him very, very much. Love him, love the ministry of this church, every member of this church. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to midweek service. There's a lot of people that will tell you midweek service is not important, that it's no longer necessary, or maybe that it'd be good in theory, but that people just aren't willing to come on a midweek, and you're doing good to get them on a Sunday morning. Well, I thank God that around here, people are willing to disprove that theory and come to the house of the Lord consistently on a Thursday night. This series may not be revelatory, it may not be deep in some of your estimation, but I'm hoping that if the Lord will help us, we can build some people. This is what we're about, is building people. And though we like to be built overnight and we like these big explosive periods of growth, things that last in the kingdom of God are built piece by piece. They're built stone by stone. And I hope that there will be pieces that you'll take from this that, though they may be simple, that they will help you if you'll accept them into your spirit. This is the key when you hear preaching, is if you hear preaching and you confirm it by the word and you know that it's true, you accept it into your spirit so that it can help you grow. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 27, a familiar passage. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So he's reminding you here of the strength of the Lord and of that his ways are beyond understanding, but that there is a way to tap in to that strength. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord will help me. We'll be entitling lesson number one of the Eagle Saints series, An Endangered Species. Our title again is An Endangered Species, Eagle Saints, An Endangered Species. Would you lift your hands and pray with me? God, I need you tonight. God, your word is anointed. God, let your anointing rest on me as I deliver your word to your people. God, your people are precious. They are the apple of your eye, the sheep of your pasture. God, we cannot afford to waste a service. I'm praying that you would accomplish your will and your agenda for this service. You know every heart and mind under the sound of my voice. God, I'm praying that you would shape us and change us and mold us, God, rearrange us. God, change our priorities, God, into what they should be. God, take away pieces that are in our heart that should not be there, God, and make us strong and effective in your kingdom. I'm praying through this series, God, that you would develop your saints. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Would you give them a hand clap of praise? God bless you. You can be seated. I read a story recently that does not strike me as being a true story, but it strikes me as having a principle that is true. And it is this. There was one day where there was a chicken farmer who was walking out near his hen house. And as he was walking by his hen house, he saw all his chickens that were inside the coop. And right outside the coop, he saw this one really big, really ugly, strange-looking chicken. He assumed it must have escaped, so he grabbed that chicken and he shoved it in his coop. And as time went on, he noticed that this was the strangest, craziest chicken that he'd ever seen. It just had strange mannerisms, and it didn't seem to know how to find food in the dirt. But as time went on, it grew acclimated to its new life. Until one day, a game warden was driving by, And what he saw as he passed made him slam on his brakes. And he came running towards this farmer yelling. He said, "Don't you know that there is an eagle in the coop with your chickens?" Well, the farmer was not alarmed, and he said, "Well, sir, you're mistaken. That's actually not an eagle. That's just a big chicken." Well, the game warden went to arguing with him because he figured he knew what he was talking about. He said, "No, that's actually an eagle." And they went back and forth for a bit. And finally, the game warden told the farmer, he said, "I can prove to you that that is an eagle and not a chicken." Farmer says, "Well, be my guest." So game warden walks into the pen. He grabs this big chicken, and he carries him up to the top of the coop, and he drops him. And no sooner does he drop him than that big, ugly chicken hits the dirt and goes back to digging in the dirt like he was before. Well, this proved the farmer's point. He says, "See, I told you that that was a chicken. He's just a big, ugly, crazy chicken." So the game warden was still not convinced, so he told the farmer, he said, "Well, if that's just a chicken, how about I give you $50 for that chicken?" Well, the farmer felt bad taking advantage of the poor game warden, but he agreed, sold the chicken for $50. Well, the game warden takes off in his truck, and he drives a few hours. He drives up the mountains, and he drives to the very pinnacle of a mountain, and he finds a cliff that drops down a couple of hundred feet. He takes that big, ugly chicken out of the cage, and he says, "Now we'll find out whether you're an eagle or a chicken." He takes that chicken to the edge, and he slings him off of that cliff. And as he slings him, just as he did in the coop, he begins to fall, and he falls, and he falls, and he's 20 feet and 50 feet and 100 feet. And then suddenly as he falls, that chicken spreads his wings. And when he spreads his wings, he began to soar. And he began to soar higher and higher and higher until he was out of the game warden's sight. See, the eagle was never a chicken. The eagle just didn't realize that he was an eagle. He thought he was a chicken. His perception told him that he was a chicken. His circumstances told him that he was a chicken. The way he had been raised told him that he was a chicken. Yet everything about his circumstance did nothing to change what he really was. See, when we use the term chicken tonight, I'm not referring to being a coward, but I'm referring to a way of life. I'm referring to some people who, because of your circumstances, you've never realized what you were actually created to be and created to do. And though your circumstances may cloud your vision as to what you are, they've never changed your core purpose. They've never changed the plan of God for your life. And I'll tell you that if you'll learn to recognize and you'll change your view and you'll start to accept the truths found in the Word of God, you'll soon realize that you were not meant to be a chicken, but you were meant to be an eagle. See, the devil tries desperately to convince you that you're not an eagle, to convince you that you'll never be anything greater than what you are, to convince you that you're bound by past circumstance, to convince you that you're bound by your heritage and bound by what your parents were and your grandparents were. And he wants to convince you that you can become content with just scratching in the ground for a single grain at a time and saying, "Well, that's my blessing, and this is the way that I live my life." But the devil's cooped some people up too long, because the price that Jesus paid was too great, and it was too high a price for us to just say, "Well, I'm content digging in the dirt and content with a low-level spiritual existence." But if you'll trust God and believe the Word of God, you can be more than you've ever been. You can be more than what you thought was possible. So Jesus paid a high price so that we don't have to live that way. Chickens and eagles in the Bible are used at times to symbolize different types of people in the Word of God. The one time that chickens are mentioned in the Bible, Jesus used them as a type of those people in Jerusalem who would not listen or believe his call that was going forth. Again, it was not about cowardice or the way that we would use the term if you called someone a chicken. This was about being content with the lower level spiritual and natural existence. These people, they were earthbound. They were earth-focused. Their eyes were focused down. They were focused on the things of the world, and they were scratching down in the dirt just to find what they needed to survive. And when you're scratching in the dirt, you're not choosing, you're not picky and you're just looking for whatever you can get your claws on just to survive in that day. And this existence, it keeps you satisfied with handouts. And you're never looking for anything more than what you need to survive. See, the mindset of a chicken is to fill its belly with anything that it can find, whether it's unclean or whether it's clean. The chicken is ground bound, and its nature is just to be satisfied with what it has. See, the eagle has a different nature. The eagle has a different purpose, and for him to find his purpose, the eagle must learn to soar into the heavens. And as he soars, the eagle's life, it can be a lonely one, because not everyone wants to be an eagle and not everyone wants to put forth the work that it takes. And you can find yourself where people around you may not be doing what you're doing, but the eagle doesn't tie his spiritual existence to everyone around him. He doesn't allow someone else to define what he can be for God. But the eagle says, whatever anybody else does, I'm going to go as high and as far as I can, because I've got to find my purpose. So our hope here is that during this nature, you'll say, hey, it's not about anybody else, or it's not about whether so-and-so thinks I can do this or not, or what they know about me, but it's that I've got to find a way to break free of the ground and to soar spiritually beyond what I've been, beyond what I've understood, or beyond what I've experienced. We've got to find a way to excel spiritually. So the eagle saint, and you'll hear me use this phrase in this series until you'll finally get tired of it, but the eagle saint does not allow someone else to define parameters for what they can do for God. An eagle saint is not putting their finger in the air and testing opinions, but they're going forward in God, and they're passionate. An eagle saint, sometimes you even have to settle down and say, hey, let's take it a day at a time, because they're zealous for the things of God. See, an eagle saint has learned to focus on finding the purpose that God has for their life. Genesis 1 gives us the narrative of God creating the first bird, and he looks, he sees that what he has created is beautiful and that it is pleasing in his eye. We know that all creation reflects the nature of God. There are things that we can understand from everything that has been created, just as people will study a piece of art to learn about the artist. We study things that are created to find out things about God, and we'll look and see that there are things about the eagle that give us insight into its creator. The eagle has been called at times the king of the birds. Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4 both give us brief descriptions of earthly authority. Mankind is defined as having dominion over all things that are on the earth. The ox is established as representing the domestic beasts, or being the face of domestic beasts. The lion is defined as representing the wild beasts that are on the earth. And the eagle is defined and established as representing the fowl of the air. From this passage is where many have taken the idea that the eagle is the king of the birds. The eagle, we can learn from observation, is certainly one of the most majestic of all of God's creations. We read that God himself used the eagle as an analogy for his actions. Exodus 19:4, the Lord speaking says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you up on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." He's saying what I did was so powerful and so majestic. The best way that I could think of to describe it is to compare it to something you've observed, and that is the majesty of an eagle. Since the beginning of recorded history, the eagle has been used as a symbol of power, of freedom, of immortality. The Egyptians, going way back, they used eagle masks in their religious ceremonies. The North American tribes considered the eagle to be sacred. They would carve the eagle at the top of their totem poles, and they would carve things representing their family beneath the eagle. They were using the eagle to tie their relationship to what they considered to be spiritual, what they considered to be heavenly. And January 20th, 1782, the Continental Congress adopted the bald eagle as the central figure of the seal of the United States of America. It's a beautiful, majestic creature that God has created. It's used often as a symbol of achievement. For a young man to earn the Eagle Merit in the Boy Scouts is one of the highest honors that he could receive. Tonight, I'll tell you that like the Eagle Scout, Eagle Sainthood is the highest achievement that you can achieve on earth. But as the world has changed and Christianity has evolved into something that requires nothing of you, Eagle Saints have become an endangered species because it takes work, it takes dedication, it takes opening yourself up fully and completely to the will of God to become an Eagle Saint. Yet I believe that if people are sincere and hungry through careful concern and cultivation of God's people, the Eagle Saint can become a common occurrence around the First Pentecostal Church of Buford. You believe that? How many of you want to become an Eagle Saint, become something special for the Lord? So tonight I'd like to quickly move through a few things about the Eagle and the Eagle Saint. I won't try to teach the whole series in one night. But I want to go through what the Eagle perceives, what the Eagle pursues, and what the Eagle partakes of. Number one, the Eagle perceives what is best. The Eagle, from the day he is born, is a meat eater, is a carnivore. But he's not just any meat eater. He is a finicky eater. Unlike his cousin, the vulture, he will not eat rotten meat, but he understands. He's got a built-in perception that tells him to seek out what is best for him, to look for what is best for him, because he knows that his diet and what he consumes, it affects his ability to perform as what he was made to be. So he seeks out that which is alive so that he might gain strength from what is alive, for his diet is his source of strength. Likewise, the Eagle Saint has a built-in perception that tells him what is best for him. This is built in at the Eagle Saint's regeneration. When the Eagle Saint receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, they receive a new nature. A new nature will help you perceive and understand what you should consume, what you should open your mind to, what you should touch. This is working on your perception to keep you safe. For the Eagle Saint, your new divine nature takes precedence over your old nature. You gain spiritual strength from your diet. What you take into your mind as your diet, it affects your ability to be what you were created to be. This is why when you're partaking of the wrong things, you feel that fleshly nature as it begins to gain strength. It begins to grow up in you until it's more powerful than your new divine nature. So you have to starve your fleshly nature and feed your spirit divine nature. So this is what is healthy for you. This is what makes you grow. This is what keeps you strong. It's partaking of what is alive. When Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness in Matthew 4, he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The word of God is alive. To the Eagle Saint, the word of God, it is your live meat that sustains you. It is your live meat that gives you strength. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful," or it is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the word of God that teaches you, that keeps you strong, that helps you to grow. Why? It's alive. It's able to adapt itself and find your weaknesses and find where it needs to give you strength. The areas where you're weakest is the areas where the word will focus, because the word is meant to build you up. It's meant to make you strong. It's meant to be your bread, your sustenance. It's meant to be what you depend on day to day. So when you understand that your strength lies in what you feed on, then you want to feed on things that enhance your diet. They enhance your strength, because your strength is what gives you the ability to soar, the ability to climb higher in God. So as your understanding grows, you learn to let go of things that bog you down and they pull you down, and certain cares of life or certain habits or certain people, certain things that you know that they are not conducive to keeping a spiritual lifestyle. You learn to kind of separate yourself from some things because you're being selective in your diet. You're being selective in what you allow to touch you and what you touch. You're being selective in what you fill your mind with. See, when you allow things that are unclean to fill your mind, they come into your heart. Your heart is corrupted. Your nature is corrupted. And then what comes out is corrupted. This was the lesson of holiness. You learn a nature. You create a nature of inward holiness. And what is inside makes its way out. This is the same for your spiritual, your mental diet. What you take into your mind and heart will make its way out. Everything you touch changes you. See, the devil knows. He's an expert at utilizing the battleground of the mind. The eagle saint understands this and understands that it's important what they expose their mind to. It's important what they open their mind to. Things like anxiety, things like fear and doubt. These are the results of outward circumstances creating a battle in the mind. They become a signal letting you know, hey, there's things that are happening. The devil's attacking. There's fiery darts to the enemy that are sticking in my thoughts. And when you realize this danger and realize where the battle comes from, then you start to take different things in your diet and to take more word into your mind, because you realize the word is what sustains you and empowers you to not give in to these things of the world, to not give in to fear, doubt, depression, etc. The word of God is a direct antidote for these struggles. So understanding and perceiving what is right for you to partake of, this is important for the eagle saint. So number one, the eagle perceives, the eagle understands what is best for him. Not only does the eagle perceive what is best, but the eagle pursues what is best. So your understanding demands your action. The eagle sits high on a lofty ledge and he surveys the valley floor below. And what is he looking for? He's looking for what he wants to eat that day. But as he's sitting there, there are three different things that he's doing. Number one, he is preparing. The eagle's wings are the only method of transportation to get him his food, and the eagle knows that he must prepare his wings for flight. So a minimum of 1 hour every morning, the eagle will spend preparing his feathers through a process that is called preening. Preening is the process where he will literally take every single feather through his beak, and he will exhale hot air. By doing this, he's steam cleaning every single feather. As he does this, there's a chemical that is excreted through the preening gland that waterproofs the feathers. The eagle understands, hey, I may be looking for a fish today, and if I'm looking for a fish, then I've got to prepare myself. I've got to prepare everything about me, interior and exterior, for the battle that I'm about to partake of. The eagle cannot swim, you see. So if the eagle's feathers are not clean, then it can quickly become waterlogged because it has not prepared itself to partake of the fish. So the eagle saint understands that there's a time of spiritual preparation that is required every day. It's not just, I just wake up and I go out to my day and whatever happens, happens. But no, an eagle saint gets up and they learn the importance of prayer. They learn the importance of reading their Bible, of partaking of the word. Why? If you don't stay spiritually clean and spiritually prepared, when you go out into the world, you'll find that things stick to you more easily. You'll find that things weigh you down. You'll find that things are harder to overcome. Someone says the wrong thing or does the wrong thing. It just sticks to you, and you can't get it out of your spirit, and you can't get it away from you. You know, and it's daily stress, it's frustrations. These things, if you're not prepared, they will attach themselves to you where you can't get them out of your mind. You can't get them out of your spirit. They make it impossible to focus on what is important. Why? You've got to prepare for the battle before you are in the battle. You can't get into the battle and then all of a sudden expect to pray and that you'll receive the preparation that you needed. No, you have to prepare before the battle. Now, thank God that he is merciful, and thank God we can call on him in a moment and he will have mercy on us oftentimes. But an eagle saint says, no, I'm not going to rely on the mercy of God in that way, but I'm going to do what I can to prepare myself spiritually. I'm going to take the word of God, the power of God, into my spirit in preparation for my day. And you'll find quickly that the problems and the cares of life, they just don't stick to you in the same way. Just as the eagle, proper preparation is vital in the life of the eagle saint. So number one, he's preparing for action. Number two, he's investigating before he takes action. Job 39:27, doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold, afar off. Give me just a second. Y'all don't be texting in church. I, I typed out all my scriptures. I forgot to send them to our screen man. He's doing his best to keep up with me, but we're going to give him a boost here. Thank you, Brother Jordan. Sorry about that. All right, so she dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. So Job tells us the eagle dwelleth and abideth on the rock. From thence she seeketh out her prey. So the eagle is not just springing into action unprepared, but not only has she been preparing and preening her feathers, but now the eagle is investigating and looking down from a high perch and watching. The eagle sits on that rock and investigates the territory. Through those sharp eyes, the eagle can see every single movement on the valley floor below and is deciding not just what it can eat, but it is deciding what is best to eat. See, when you really learn to prepare yourself and to take the word, you're not just looking for your survival that day, but you're learning, God, how can you build me in the best way? What's the most effective, the most powerful that I could be for you today? How can I best be a saint of God in your kingdom today? This is part of investigating. The eagle looks for what is best, and he watches, and he's not going to settle for anything less. Now, what's the analogy here? As the eagle is looking before he leaps, many times we do exactly that, except exactly opposite. We leap before we look. See, we've not investigated things, and when we just jump into our day with both feet and we're not prepared, then we find our things are just over our head, and we're in things that we don't have any business being in, and we're places we shouldn't be, and we're in situations that we're not strong enough for. But if you trust the Lord enough to go to the Word of God to investigate your situation, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. See, when you just jump into situations constantly without praying, you're saying, my understanding is good enough. My ability is good enough, because your actions show what you really believe. If you really believe that it was only through the Lord where you receive strength and understanding, then you would go to him often. But it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's what the eagle does. That's what the eagle saint ought to do. If you're not praying for direction, if you haven't been praying at all, but you find yourself quickly taking action, then you know that your action, any action you take, it comes from your flesh, because you've not been feeding your spirit. But when you've been feeding your spirit and looking for what is best and looking for what will make you stronger and make you more spiritual, then you can trust that your action, you'll feel that direction from the Lord. The eagle saint will pray for direction for all major decisions, and I would say most minor decisions of life, because they know that the Lord will give me direction. The Lord will lead me in straight paths. And guess what? The eagle saint is willing to take yes or no from an answer, from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, or from the man of God, because they're submitted. This is part of being an eagle saint. The eagle saint knows that God knows best. So the eagle prepares. The eagle, after going through this time of preparing and this time of inspecting, the eagle springs into action. And number three, the eagle initiates his flight. Once that eagle has prepared and he's investigated and found what he's looking for, that eagle will spread those 7.5-foot wings, and he'll mount the wind, and he will pursue his goal. See, he doesn't have to worry about flapping or about falling. He's flying. Why? One thing he's learned under preparation and investigation is that he's not dependent on his own power, but he has to rely on things that God has provided. See, the eagle relies on the wind for his flight. Eagles will travel for miles at a time without ever flapping their wings one time. They're carried, they're borne up by the wind. It's because of the wind that they can achieve great height. They rely on the wind to soar. The eagle saint realized that soaring spiritually is dependent upon God providing the wind to to lift them to new heights. See, the wind in Scripture represents the Holy Ghost. God provided the Holy Ghost for His people the day of Pentecost, and it's meant to guide us, to lift us up in the same way that the wind does for the eagle. The eagle saint cannot soar without the Holy Ghost. The eagle saint cannot survive without the Holy Ghost. When you find yourself trying to go through life and you're not full of the Holy Ghost, then you find frustration and you find struggle, because it's the Holy Ghost that lifts you up out of your struggle and out of your problems and above your circumstance. It's the wind of the Spirit that picks you up and helps you to soar. So the eagle saying, if you jump out and you're not soaring with the wind, then you find yourself flapping and fluttering and falling because you're not relying on what God has provided in order to enable you to fly. This is why when a new saint comes in, we're not interested in rearranging your whole life. We want you to get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what will pick you up out of your problems and out of your struggle. We can give you all the natural counsel in the world and everything that we could ever give you from our own mind, but it's not until the Holy Ghost begins to work on you and to pick you up. That's when understanding comes. That's when strength comes, and you're getting the Holy Ghost is dependent on obedience. Don't misunderstand me. You must obey the Word of God and submit yourself to the will of God. But the Holy Ghost is what has the power to transform you, to change you. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is meant to be a teacher. It's meant to be a leader. It's meant to be, to simplify it, though it's much more than this. It's an additional layer of the conscience that God gave you. It'll teach you things that, hey, you probably shouldn't do this. You probably should do that. It will give you these nudges and these hints as you go through life. The Holy Ghost teaches you. The Holy Ghost carries you where you learn to rely on the Lord. This is why someone who's staying full of the Holy Ghost, they realize, hey, I better not make this decision without asking God about it. They take everything to God in prayer because they realize, hey, He really will answer. He really will give direction. He really will carry me. And just as the wind carries the eagle, the Spirit, or the wind carries the eagle saint and lifts you up, and it's through the wind of the Spirit that you rise and that you change. So the eagle perceives what is best. The eagle partakes of what is best. And lastly, for tonight, the eagle partakes of what is best. So after there's been preparation and after there's been investigation and there's been some choices that is made, then there's some things that you'll begin to ingest into your spirit. Our text said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So this verse contains some truths that will help us all soar as eagle saints if we'll partake of them. It talks about patience. They that wait upon the Lord. The saint of God must be patient, must be willing to wait upon the timing of God, upon the plan of God, upon the will of God. An eagle saint is patient not only for the timing of the Lord, but is patient with fellow saints. They're patient with people who are not saints. They're patient with everybody. The eagle sits patiently and waits for the right moment to proceed, to receive the maximum results. When you learn to wait on God's timing instead of just jumping into things headlong without being spiritually prepared, without feeling the unction of the Holy Ghost, then you'll find that you're finding God's timing in every situation of your life. It takes patience to wait on God's time. Why? Because we always, let me give you a hint, our clock always runs faster than God's on anything that is good. Now, on anything that's bad, we're like, man, why this happen? Why this have to happen right now? But anything that is good for us, we always think, God, don't you know that yesterday was the perfect day for that? God, you had this window of opportunity right here, and you must not have realized what was going on because you totally missed the right timing here. Hey, can anybody be honest and say, I can say that. There have been many times where I thought that I just knew, God, if you were going to do it, you had to do it right now, and something must have happened. But that's not the way it works in God's kingdom. The eagle saint is patient and waits on God's timing. And a bunch of y'all were just fibbing right there because I only saw about 20 hands go up. But we're going to let y'all slide. We'll wait till another lesson for that. So patience. The eagle saint receives power. The verse says they shall renew their strength. So just as God gives the eagle power to pursue those things that are best for them, he gives the eagle saint power and understanding to pursue those things that are best. If you're really praying and you're really preparing yourself and you're looking to operate within the will of God, God will always give you power to operate within his will. It's not about what you think that you can or think that you cannot do. If you're obedient, then power comes from the Lord. Spiritual power. Some of you have the desire to do things and be things for God, but you look at your natural ability and you think, well, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. You're not understanding. This power is spiritual. It comes from God. So the power to be born up on eagle's wings spiritually only comes from the Lord. And when you wait on the Lord, the promise is that you'll renew your strength. So it's patience, it's power, it's perseverance. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, even the perseverance of the eagle comes from God, his creator. For only through God can he have the power to keep on going. Only through God. See, you got to understand, every breath that you take is by God's mercy. Every step that you take, whether you admit it, whether you realize it, it's God's grace, it's God's mercy that has given you the ability to survive another day as mercy is made new every morning. So the eagle saint realizes, no matter how many blessings they may have of God, they're only surviving by the power, by the grace of God. And an eagle saint, their survival is not based on circumstance, because they know that, hey, there will be dark days. There will be days that are spiritually powerful and great. But the eagle saint is not depending on always living on a spiritual mountaintop. Make no mistake, it's not that living for God is easy for the eagle saint. It's that living for God becomes the only way. It becomes the only option. There's no other way for you to live when you found the purpose for which you were created. When you find that fulfillment in stepping into God's calling, you know, hey, there's no other life that I'm even interested in or that I would consider. Even when you're upset and you're having a bad day and you're upset at your brother and sister, hey, how could I walk away? Where else would I go but to the Lord? Where can I find strength? Where can I find fulfillment? Where can I find peace? The only true peace is found in the church. The only peace is found in the Lord. You can run as far as you want, but you'll never find the peace you're looking for except in God. So the eagle saint finds fulfillment in the plan of God. And this realization of fulfillment of God's plan is what gives purpose to the eagle saint. It's what gives them strength. It's what gives people in this church that you think have it so easy that you have no clue of the things that they struggle with, because they come into church and they're consistent, service after service. Why? It's not that their life is consistent. It's not that they're not having struggles. It's that no matter what their struggle, they're consistent in their relationship with God, because they've learned that my circumstances don't have to determine my relationship with him. And hey, when they have a bad day, they step in and they praise the Lord. You don't find them hanging their head. You don't find them sitting there being grumpy and depressed, but they know, hey, my God's been too good to me for me to just sit down on a pew and not give him praise, or my God's been too good for me to stay home from church and me to not be faithful to the house of God. But they realize, hey, this is where I gain my strength. This is where I gain power. This is how I survive. I'm close to being done. Bear with me. So it's not that living for you just flip this switch and all of a sudden every day you're just coasting downhill and just living for God is so easy and you never have another struggle, you never have another trial, you never have a temptation. No, that's not the way it works. It's not because it's easy. It's because it's worth it. It's because it's the only way to be saved. It's because it's a beautiful, wonderful life living for him. It's because It's a reassuring thing to know, no matter what, it doesn't matter what the opposition is. We don't have to scout or study the opposition when we're doing things right and we're being obedient to the Word of God. We understand that His strength is more than sufficient. So when you find your purpose in Him, you start to realize, hey, it's worth that molding process on the potter's wheel. Though it's painful, though it's frustrating, though it seems to take a long time, it's worth that chipping away with that hammer and chisel where there's things that I may not want to give up and things that I wish I could hang on to. It's worth releasing some things. It's worth releasing my pride, releasing my own self-will. Why? Because God has a better plan. An Eagle Saint is not trying to design their own plan for God to follow, but they're trying to find God's plan so that they can follow God's plan. So all of these things, they're necessary if you want to become an Eagle Saint. And the text is giving insight. This is how you become an overcomer in God. This is how you rise above some things. This is how you renew your strength. This is how you mount up with wings like eagles. This is how you run and don't become weary. You walk and you don't faint. But all of this power is unlocked by the key that is given at the beginning of this verse. See, the key is in waiting. The Hebrew word for wait here is the word kavah. Like many words, this word has both a literal and a figurative meaning. When dealing, this is important. This is not just space filler here. I want you to understand this. When you're dealing with a word that has dual meanings, it has both a literal and a figurative meaning, then context is key to understanding what is being said. So how about this? If I said, on the way here, I saw a dead deer on the side of the road, you would understand that I was using the literal definition for the word dead. The context, your understanding, it would tell you that I was being literal. I actually did see a dead deer on the side of the road. Now, if I told you that I went into a church and it was dead, then your understanding or the context of the sentence would tell you that I was not talking about literally dead, but I was using the figurative definition of the word. So context will tell you which definition is correct or more correct. Sometimes, and in this case, as I'll show, I believe both definitions are correct. So in this verse, the translators chose to use the figurative definition of the Hebrew word kavah, which means to wait or to look for with eager expectation. I do agree that this is an applicable definition, and I'm not here to try to say that they were mistaken, because I do believe that it is correct. I do believe that there are times when we've done all that we can do and we have to wait for the Lord's timing to arrive. Patience is key. My favorite example here is David as he runs to the rock of direction. He gets there. Circumstances are right. He's been obedient. But until the arrow of direction gets to that rock, he's got nothing to do but wait. We don't know how long it was, but we know that he beat direction to the place of direction. Everything was correct, but the timing had not arrived. So there are times when we must be patient. So I believe that the figurative definition is correct. But I believe that in this case, after examining the context of the verse and the literal meaning of the word here, as well as the figurative meaning, that both definitions are correct. Before you can wait on the Lord to fix your situation, you got to put yourself in a place of obedience and dependence on Him. And you can stand if you would. Musicians, come quickly. So the figurative definition means to wait, to look for with eager expectation. But the literal Hebrew definition of this word means to bind together like a cord. It's referring to the act of being woven together with Him. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a threefold cord is not easily or not quickly broken. So while a single strand of cord would break easily, when you become woven together with a God whose strength is made perfect in your weakness, then in every situation, in every battle, your ability to overcome is dependent on how well you are woven together with Him. This is why when you become separated from Him, then you become weak and you're unable to bear the load of life, and you can't measure up to expectations. You can't measure up to your past. But when you weave yourself together with Him, this is the life of an Eagle Saint. It's not that they are strong. It's that they know that they are weak and that He is strong. And it's only by wrapping him up in every area of their life and praying and fasting and reading the word and taking things into their spirit. It's only by being dependent on him that they're able to bear the load of life. Where before they were struggling just to survive spiritually, now they learn to thrive because it's his strength. It's his leading. It's his direction. It's the Holy Ghost. And listen, the heavier the load gets on a rope, what does a rope do? It begins to stretch. And as it stretches, everything in it is becoming even closer and closer together. The further it stretches, the closer those fibers get as they get tighter and tighter. And you'll find yourself in situations in life where when you're stretched beyond your imagination, beyond what you could ever comprehend, you'll find that it's in your weakness that you are made strong. And it's only through his strength. It's only through his mercy. And the Eagle Saint knows, I'm completely and totally dependent on him. I couldn't last a day without his strength, without his direction. And as an Eagle Saint gets stretched by life, you realize my hope is found in my dependency on him. It's meant to be a completely dependent relationship. You don't get so strong spiritually that you don't need to pray and you don't need to ask for direction. But the more strong you get, the more you pray, the more you want direction, the more you seek him, the more you look for him. Now, one more thing, and I'm gonna close. The strength of the rope is constant. Whether there is a load on it, whether it's not a load, the strength is constant. It's only the test. The test reveals the strength of the rope. The test does not create the strength of the rope. So what is it doing after the rope has been woven together and after the Eagle Saint has been woven together with him? And you're simply waiting. You're waiting on him to put you to use. You're waiting on his plan. You're waiting on his purpose. What the rope is made of determines its strength, but you have to wait for the timing of God. This is why I believe that both definitions are applicable to this verse. The Eagle Saint is woven together with him and says, God, whatever you want, whatever your plan, whatever your timing, I'm willing to weave myself together with you, and I'm willing to wait on what you want. I'm willing to wait on direction. I'm willing to wait to be used. But when you give me direction, God, I'm going to move. I'm going to step forward. How many are looking to be woven together with him in a way that you never have, in a deeper way, in a more powerful way? That you know you can't survive without the Lord. You can't go a day. You can't go a step without him. This altar's open. God's ready to build some people. God wants to put some things in your spirit. God wants to give you strength. Strength to rise up. Strength to survive. Strength to hold on. Strength to rise above the cares and the struggles of life. How many are tired of constantly digging in the dirt, just hoping to survive, just trying to make it another day spiritually? Hey, when you begin to rise up on eagle's wings, it's not surviving, but it's thriving. You become a strength, and you become a help to those around you. Why? It's the act of becoming what you were meant to be. Would you pray across the building? Weave yourself together. Open your spirit unto him. God's trying to protect you. God's trying to place things into your spirit. God's trying to strengthen you. Would you lift your voice? If you know that you need strength, if you know that you're weak without him, if you know that you're hopeless without him, if you struggle with fear and anxiety, he is your answer. He is your only peace. He is your only strength. Would you lift your voice? God cares for your every care.